Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina. The Jalapeno Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Wilco Radio, Bazaria, Tech County, Texas. And numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is got to be Muck and Fun Day and also the first day of October 2018. It's 12:04 Pacific Time. I'm your host, Henry Shively. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029, and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610, and then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 then mute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with me today. Well, it is currently 51 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 58 degrees today for the Klamath Basin. It has cooled down. Had some rain. Rained yesterday. I think it might be raining now for all I know. Anyways, see what we got going here. New law obliges Americans to pay unlimited billions to Israel. I wanted to get the other one first. I think these are in the wrong order. Still half asleep. Biggest legal donor in all of U.S. politics brings an Israel first agenda to Washington. And then it'll be followed by the other. You'll see how they go together, I'm sure. That being said, we'll get into that in just a moment.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT,
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5
Micro FM,
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
Alrighty then, the biggest donor in all of U.S. politics brings an Israel first agenda to Washington. This is some more of that fake news, it's got to be. This is from Mint Press. It was sent in by Galen for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. According to publicly available campaign finance data, Sheldon Adelson, the conservative Zionist casino billionaire, is now the biggest spender on federal elections in all of American politics. Adelson, who was the top donor to Donald Trump's president, I thought he paid for that campaign all by himself. That's why he's one of us and he can't be bought off. I guess it's by the Jews. It looks like there was a Jew buying him off. Look like a Jew paying for every fucking thing here, don't it? Donor to Donald Trump's presidential campaign and the Republican Party in 2016 has cemented his role as top political donor in the country after giving $55 million in recent months to Republicans in an effort to help the party keep its majority in both houses of Congress. You can't get those Middle Eastern wars going, man, unless you got some solid base to work from. Adelson's willingness to help the GOP stay in power is likely born out of his desire to protect the massive interest he placed in the party last election cycle. In 2016, the Republican mega donor gave heavily to the Trump campaign, and Republicans donating $35 million to the former and $55 million to the top two Republican super PACs. I thought that was what he paid for. That's why we could trust him, remember? He didn't need their goddamn money. Oh, just the Jew money. The Congressional Leadership Fund and the Senate Leadership Fund. During the election cycle, Adelson's decision to again donate tens of millions of dollars to Republican efforts to stay in power is a direct consequence of how successfully Adelson has been able to influence U.S. policy since Trump and the GOP rode to victory in the last election cycle. A New York Times article on Adelson titled "Sheldon Adelson Sees a Lot to Like in Trump's Washington" notes that Adelson enjoys a direct line to the president. Direct phone, call him right up on the phone, man. For the Jews, you and me, man, you try to call a goddamn local representative and get the circle jerk, you know, the where you go around with from this line to that line to that line, that line back to, if you'd like to place a call, please hang up and dial. Furthermore, Adelson and Trump are regularly meet once a month. I'm sure they do in private, in person. I mean, this is, in this, you know, they're talking about the Russians interfering in our goddamn politics over here. Here's the goddamn the Israelis. I mean, private in-person meetings and phone conversations that Adelson has used to push major changes in to U.S. policy that Trump has made reality, such as moving the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. We're not the Russians? Isn't this a foreign state, or am I missing something here? From Tel Aviv to Jerusalem and cutting aid to Palestinian refugees, among others. Adelson's new title as top spender in all U.S. elections shows that he, along with his wife, is willing to spend big to keep that direct line open in the months and years ahead. Citing sources close to the Adelsons, the Times writes that Adelson's massive expenditures in federal elections this cycle are being made because he and his wife believe that, quote, Republican control of the House and Senate is so vital to maintaining these right-wing and pro-Zionist politics. You mean the Israeli politics? But no, God, Russians and China, everybody's trying to interfere in our elections and in our goddamn government here, aren't they? Vital to maintaining these right-wing and pro-Zionist policies and their influence in Washington and the White House. We can go right on to some of that. Here, let's see what that money bought. New U.S. law obliges Americans to pay unlimited billions to Israel. I wonder where that law came from. Where in the hell that came from? Who paid for that? Who bought it? This is directly taking money from American nationals to hand to a fucking foreign country. Like we owe them a tithing or something. Maybe we do. This is from the Observer, sent in by Katie for discussion on From the Trenches, worldreport.com. In what has been described as an unprecedented gift of executive power to Israel. An unprecedented gift of executive power to Israel. This is the United States, the League of the United, big ass states of the America. An executive power given to Israel. The U.S. Congress has passed, for the very first time, a law that it forces the American president to give Israel a minimum of $3.8 billion per year without limitations and no matter what else Israel does. Right, what was that? Katie would just come on here and tell me they're the only democracy in the Middle East. I don't understand. The bill states in Section 102, Statement of Policy, that it shall be the policy of the United States to provide assistance to the government of Israel in order to support funding for cooperative programs to develop, produce, and procure missile, rocket projectiles, and other defensive capabilities to help Israel meet its security needs and to help develop and enhance United States defense capabilities. What do we defend? Oh, that's why we defend Israel. King Netanyahu, our king. That's who you bend your fucking knee to, people. Coming and taking it right out, way out of your goddamn hands, a son of a bitch from another country. Right in your fucking face. According to a review of the law published by the If Americans New Group, the AIPAC lobbied law introduced by Representative Elena Ross Linthianoy, Republican Florida, whose maternal grandparents were Sephardic Jews, originally from the Ottoman Empire, who had been active in Cuba's Jewish community, and Ted Ducha, Democrat Florida, whose grandparents were Jewish immigrants from Belarus. The bill is even more generous to Israel than the Senate bill and the 2016 Memorandum of Understanding, and amounts to $7,230 per minute to Israel. Going on our tab, we've got a $21 trillion of our own money missing. They're calling it a goddamn debt. $7,230 per minute to Israel, or $120 per second. There's $120. There's not $120. There's not $120. And the If Americans Knew review adds that the bill guarantees $38 billion to Israel over the next 10 years and is a dramatic departure from the deal offered under President Obama's 2016 Memorandum of Understanding. Most dramatically, the new act would eviscerate the ability of President Trump and his successors for the next 10 years to withhold United States aid to Israel. The review says, so it's theirs. This is their fucking money. They're over here taxing us now. This ain't, what the hell is the goddamn difference? Somebody please explain it to me. Israel is now putting direct taxes on its goddamn goyim property over here in the United States, isn't it? Historically, almost every president has attempted to withhold such aid at one time or another in order to force Israel to the peace table or to stop Israel from committing human rights abuses. No courts or anything. You know, them got to find them Nazis, 102 years old in the wheelchair, can't even see, blind. They'll roll their ass into court for the, you know, that shit back in 1942 that didn't happen. Boy, you're talking about justice. There's going to be goddamn justice, but from committing human rights abuses, which they do every fucking day. Using our goddamn money, using the money that they're evidently taxing us now. Israel is directly taxing the American people. How do you feel about that? Rights abuse or illegal acts such as taking Palestinian land and giving it to Israeli settlers. President Eisenhower was the last American president who managed to use the threat effectively when he forced Israel to withdraw from Egypt's Sinai Peninsula in 1957. The review added that the second most important effect of this act is in Section 103, while the MOU limits the amount of aid that the U.S. gives Israel to the amount agreed upon. In this case, $38 billion over 10 years. Section 103 of the current bill removes all limitations on how much the U.S. gives to Israel. How much Israel taxes direct. This is a direct tax from fucking... from goddamn Jerusalem, you know, the center of the goddamn world where our goddamn king lives. This is a direct fucking tax on the provinces, isn't it? You will pony up this goddamn money if you got to sell your shit in your house, and you will send it to your fucking masters over there in Israel. Under the new act of, under the new act, instead of $38 billion being the cap, as Obama's, stipulated in his 2016 Memorandum of Understanding, the U.S. must now give a minimum of $3.8 billion a year until 2028. So this has been direct tax from Israel on the American people for the amount of $3.8 billion per year until 2028. Isn't it? Isn't that what this is? Are we going to go off in goddamn fairy fuckland and where there are unicorns flying and everything and pretend like this? We call this foreign aid. No, that's a direct fucking tax on the American people from a foreign fucking state. You think your country ain't gone? You think you're going to get it back short of a fight? Without a cap and with incessant lobbying by Israel. Who was doing that? Oh, that's right. We read about the lobbying, the payoffs. That bought fucking the office for the son of a bitch. And everybody, oh, he paid it with his own money. That's why we can trust him, huh? Fucking idiots. Without a cap and with incessant lobbying by Israel and her proxies in the United States, the amount we give could conceivably double over the next 10 years. They just increased the tax on the American people to be paid to our masters in Israel. Right? Section 106 will increase Israel's access to a war reserve stockpile by stockpile by completely removing the limits on how many precision-guided missiles the U.S. can give Israel. The existing law sets a minimum of $200 million worth of arms from the stockpile per year. There's another $200 fucking million per year to be charged against the agreed paid package, which is limitless now. Limitless. Whatever Israel decides to tax the fucking its goyim property over here in the United States, that would be you and me. But it's limitless. The House version of the bill differs from the Senate version, replacing the word sell, sell, S-E-L-L, and sale, S-A-L-E, to transfer, which appears to open the door for more gifts in excess of $38 billion. So we're not even going to sell them anymore. $200 billion, they're transferred. When you're transferring something, you're giving it to them, aren't you? They're milking their goyim over here, aren't they? By what fucking authority? To put this in context, a Tomahawk missile currently costs about $1 million. The media recently lambasted President Trump for using 60 such missiles in Syria because of the high cost. Section 107 calls on the president to prescribe procedures for the rapid acquisition and development of precision-guided munitions. The House text differs from the Senate version in that it removes all the detailed requirements for Israel to have such rapid acquisition. The veil's done been pulled down. Now they're just stepping up officially as your goddamn rulers. In the version just passed by the House, there is only one extremely broad requirement, and that is that Israel is under direct threat of missiles, in Israel's opinion. So if you got to tell us in your opinion, and then everything's yours, in Israel's opinion, who's running this fucking country, people? Sure as hell ain't us. Section 108 of the Act authorizes Israel to export arms it receives from the United States. So now you're going to send them $200 million worth of missiles, and then they can export those and make a profit on them. Oh, hey, isn't that what Jews do? To other countries. Authorize export arms it receives from the U.S., even though this violates U.S. law. What fucking U.S. law? I mean, that's laughable. I'm having a laugh on it. Violates U.S. law? I guess then it's supposed to be something well above U.S. law? The Senate version included a provision calling on the president to make an assessment of Israel's eligibility before adding Israel to the exemption list. The House version deleted that requirement and simply orders the American president to grant Israel the privilege. I guess somebody is running this country other than fucking Americans, aren't they? That little pisshole over in the fucking desert is running, I mean, just straight up in your face. By the way, they're getting ready to directly tax you. That's a direct tax on you from Israel, on the American people. Could it get any more tyrannical or corrupt? In fact, Israel is ineligible, having repeatedly made unauthorized sales in violation of this act. Did you hear what I just said? The Export Act further forbids granting such an exemption to any country that is in violation of International Nuclear Proliferation Agreement, which Israel has refused to sign. Who are these people? Although they're the only democracy in the Middle East, they're our best friend. Evidently, they are our rulers. Israel is known to be in possession of nuclear weapons, and hence in violation of and ineligible for the export exemption. Congress thus reiterates the message that it will force the president to continue funding Israel even when that violates U.S. laws. Huh? Let's go vote. So I'll go vote. That's what we do. We vote. See? For our government. The review continued. Section 201 orders NASA to work with the Israeli Space Agency, even though an Israeli space official has been accused of illegally obtaining classified scientific technology from a NASA research project. No, it's not NASA. It's the whole fucking country. You belong to them fucking kikes over there. Don't you get it? You must belong to them if you have to pay them tribute, right? By law, you will pay tribute to the Israelis. To the Jews. U.S. agencies periodically name Israel as a top espionage threat to the United States. Well, they were the ones over there clapping when those buildings were coming down. No, those were Arabs that flew out of the country immediately over to Israel. That's what that was. Yeah, we're just that fucking stupid, aren't we? The section also states that the United States Agency for International Development must partner with Israel in a wide variety of sectors, including energy, agriculture, and food security, democracy, human rights, and governance, economic growth and trade, education, environment. Partner with them. We must partner with those, with the Zionists over there in Israel. We must. The law states it. If we're partnering with them, that means we're joining it. They're making themselves a permanent authority in our government that is going to directly tax we the people. Human development, global health, water, and sanitation. All countries except Israel are required to spend U.S. military aid on American goods. All, every, without exception, country is expected, except Israel, they're required to spend U.S. military aid on American goods. This ensures that the American economy benefits to some degree from these massive gifts. And the money you make, you can take. You know, if they ain't even spending here, but that was, they could be directly taxed from Israel and have that, give them that money back. Of course, if Americans wish to subsidize these U.S. companies, money could be provided directly to them and Israel and other countries left to buy their equipment with their own money. What are you doing, Israel and other, this person wants to go to prison or something, don't they? They want to go into a gulag, don't they? Try to act like Israel isn't America's government. Goddamn traitor. In the past, Israel has spent 40% of U.S. aid on Israeli companies at the expense of U.S. industry. Under Obama's 2016 Memorandum of Understanding, this percentage was to be decreased over the next 10-year span, and eventually Israel's unique right not to spend or use U.S. military aid to purchase items from American companies was to be ended. But they got their boy in there. They had the guy come in. All the money they pumped. But no, Trump, he paid for himself. He paid his own tab. That's why nobody controls him. No, nobody controls him. Oi, oi. Jared Kushner's got his head so far up. Trump's ass, when Trump opens his mouth, you see two tongues wiggling in there. One of them's his, one of them's Kushner's. Doing Netanyahu's bidding. Telling us what our king has ordered us to do next. People. I guess you be fucking people out there. You must love this shit. You must love being goyim. You must love being owned. You won't hear this shit raised on nowhere else but here. The new act eliminates this requirement, putting Israeli economic interests before America's. No! America first, goddammit. Didn't you read the Red Hat? This is all lies. This is all false news. That's what it is. It's fake news. Fake news. That's what this is. All fake news. An Israeli spokesperson crowed, the landmark deal was reached despite budget cuts, including defense cuts in the United States. The bill now will go to the Senate for approval and then to Trump to be signed into U.S. law. And it will go, and it will be signed. It will be stamped, and if they could put something else in there, like, well, if you need slave labor, if they can't come up with the money, you can just go ahead and take people over there, and you can use them as slaves, because it is your goddamn thing. We are your goyim. We are your property. Who owns you? Canada-U.S. deal saves NAFTA. This is what they were doing out, and this is what they're the programming was the pitch, the shit they were running through their, on their stupid box while they were doing this shit behind the doors here handing, I mean, just kind of putting a direct tax from the Israelis straight to the American people. Straight to the American people. Israel is now can tax you. Is it just your country? Canada. Pardon?
You know what the people are going to do, don't you?
I don't have a clue.
Nothing.
Goddamn right. Canada-U.S. deal saves NAFTA as a trilateral pack. Oh, I just didn't know it was going anywhere. I mean, there's some things in this you people are going to love. They make this sound like, oh, this is so good. So good. You're so good for some for a handful. Oi, wonder who they are. Oi, these people can recover that $55 million they put in about 20 fucking seconds. The United States and Canada forged a last gasp deal on Sunday to salvage NAFTA as a trilateral pact with Mexico recusing a three-country, $1.2 trillion open trade zone that had been both about to collapse after nearly a quarter of a century. And a big victory for the agenda to shake up an era of global free trade that may many associate with the signing of NAFTA in 1994, President Donald Trump coerced Canada and Mexico to accept more restrictive commerce with their main export partner. Trump's primary directive in working NAFTA and reworking NAFTA was to bring down U.S. trade deficits, a goal he has also pursued with China by imposing hundreds of billions of dollars in tariffs on imported goods from the Asian giant. While the new United States-Mexico-Canada agreement, the USMCA, avoids tariffs, it will make it harder for global automakers to build cars cheaply in Mexico and is aimed at bringing more jobs into the United States. Sounds kind of suspicious to me. Since talks began more than a year ago, it was clear Canada and Mexico would have to make concessions in the face of Trump's threats to tear up NAFTA, and relief was palpable in both countries on Sunday that the deal was largely intact and had not fractured supply chains between weaker bilateral agreements. We're going to continue with this, but we're at the bottom of the hour, and we're going to take our bottom of the hour break. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It is 12:35 Pacific Time. And that was Expect No Mercy. And don't expect none from Nazareth. Expect no mercy, no goddamn words. Expect treachery more and more every frickin' day. And Trump's new Canada-U.S. deal. Hey, well, there was a border wall included in that, right? You did put in there the Mexicans were going to pay for that border wall, didn't you, Trumpy? Well, now it's border prepare, fencing, a barrier kind of thing. And they're, you know, they're praising us. He's keeping his promises. Yeah, to the filthy fucking rich Jews that put his ass in there. Where's that promise of ending DACA day one? Remember that? Or they're all going to leave. We're throwing them all. Everyone here illegally is getting out. They're pouring over the fucking border. That's the next article. Trump's primary objective in reworking NAFTA was to bring down U.S. trade deficits, a goal he has also pursued with China by imposing hundreds of billions of dollars in tariffs on imported goods from the Asian giant. All this is the big boys vying for contracts to get more. I'm going to get more contract. And this way, we bought this. We own this son of a bitch. While the United States, Mexico, and Canada agreement avoids tariffs, it will make it harder for global automakers to build cars cheaply in Mexico and is aimed at bringing more jobs into the United States. And I'd like to know how. Since talks began more than a year ago, it was clear Canada and Mexico would have to make concessions in the face of Trump's threats. And I'm going to tell you guys what these concessions are here pretty damn quick. Trump's threats to tear up NAFTA and relief was palatable in both countries on Sunday, that the deal was largely intact and hard, had not fractured supply chains between weaker bilateral agreements. It is good for a good day for Canada. And yeah, man, if you're one of the Trumpy Jew boys up there, it's a wonderful fucking day. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau told reporters after a late-night cabinet meeting to discuss the deal, which triggered a jump in global financial markets. You mean the billionaires got richer? I want you to keep that in mind when we get to when I finally stop and look at this. The filthy fucking rich, the one percenter, boy, they just made billions again. I mean, they just went up, just changed the numbers in the computers, and they're more wealthy. More of that pile of gold belongs to them. In a joint statement, Canada and the United States said it would, quote, result in free markets for, fairer trade and robust economic growth in our region. I'm going to tell you how. Negotiators worked frantically ahead of a midnight estimated whatever time U.S. imposed deadline to settle differences, with both sides making concessions to seal the deal. The United States and Mexico had already clinched a bilateral agreement in August. It's a great win for the president and a validation of his strategy in the area of international trade, a senior administrative official told reporters. I'm going to tell you how in a little bit. Trump has approved the deal with Canada. A source familiar with the decision said U.S. officials intended to sign the agreement with Canada and Mexico at the end of November, after which it would be submitted to the U.S. Congress for approval, a senior U.S. official said. Cost for Canada? The deal will preserve a trade dispute settlement mechanism that Canada fought hard to maintain to protect its lumber industry and other sectors from U.S. anti-dumping tariffs, U.S. And Canada, Canadian officials said, but it came at a cost. Canada has agreed to provide U.S. dairy farmers access to about 3.5% of its approximately $16 billion annual domestic dairy market. Although Canada, see, this is all rubbish. This is just to put a whole bunch of shit around just a little bit of truth. I'm sure all this stuff is happening, but you're going to see what's the real end result here. Although Canadian sources said its government was prepared to offer compensation, dairy farmers reacted angrily. We fail to see how this deal can be good for the 220 1,000 Canadian families that depend on dairy for their livelihood. Perry Lamperon, president of Dairy Farmers of Canada, said in a statement, "This has happened despite assurances that our governments would not sign a bad deal for Canadians. The deal also requires a higher portion of the parts in a car to be made in areas of North America paying at least $16 an hour, a rule aimed at shifting jobs from Mexico." $16 an hour. So they're going to make it up to 16. So you're going to be paying $16 an hour to an auto worker here because this is a bilateral open fucking trade zone, right? So $16 an hour, huh? This is the little shit in this whole thing. I'm going to tell you guys something. I wrote it down here somewhere if I can find it. Give me a second. Look at $16 an hour. In 1979, when Laura and I were married, the minimum wage here in the United States, or here in Oregon, which was higher than most, was $3.10 an hour. It was the wage in Oregon when I got married. Okay, gas was 60 cents a gallon. For that hour of labor, I could get 5.2 gallons of gas. Now, at $16 an hour, and $3.20 a gallon for gas, it comes to 5 gallons even. So what are you talking about here? The auto workers are going to be working for what was minimum wage when I started out in 1979. We do run on the petrodollar, don't we? That's it, man. I mean, you know, auto workers, you know, they used to make that was a good fucking job. $16 now, they're turning us all into fucking slaves is what they're doing. And that's what this son of a bitch just did. He made it okay. So that's what you're going to compete with. $16 an hour in this country, $16 an hour. Don't matter what country you're going to put, you're going to get $16 an hour. Minimum wage in 1979.
They got to pay Israel, Henry.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. And you're going to pay Israel out of that $16 fucking dollars, by the way. You're right, Mark. Canada and Mexico each agreed to a quota of 2.6 million passenger vehicles exported to the United States in the event that Trump imposes 25% global auto tariffs and on national security grounds. The quota would allow for significant growth in tariff-free automotive exports from Canada above current production levels of about 2 million units. So what happened is, you know, the dairy farmers, they lost a few money that some of the money was being stolen. It was transferred over to the goddamn car manufacturer, that gang, that fucking mafia, safeguarding Canadian plants. It is also well above the 1.8 million cars and SUVs Mexico sent north last year. And this is what thing is, how they're going to get them. They're making them pay them $16 an hour because that's what the going wage here is going to be, $16 fucking dollars an hour for building cars. Which was, like I said, that was equated to the minimum wage. If we're on the petrodollar, that equated to the minimum wage I was getting in 1979 when I was a goddamn 18 years old. And I made above minimum wage, but that's what minimum wage was. Think about that, people. They play with these fucking numbers. $16, huh? Yeah, $16 that ain't as worth as much as $3.10 was when I was married. It'd be 40 years this year. So you're making actually less. Back then, making the cars, goddamn, you got $10 or $12 an hour. You know, that was three times what the minimum wage was, or four times what the minimum wage was. Now you're going to get minimum wage, what minimum wage was back in 1979. There ain't no way to get around you. You can play all the fucking games you want. A gallon of gas is a gallon of gas. And that's what it costs. And we do run on the petrodollar. But the deal failed to resolve U.S. tariffs on Canada's steel and aluminum exports. See, this is all production shit. Why they're handing this country? Well, this is what our Jew masters told them to write down on a piece of paper, and our Jew masters told the Chinese to put on our Chinese-controlled internet. Okay, it's a good deal for Mexico and North America. Mexican Foreign Secretary Luis Vedagaraya said, "The news delighted financial markets and had fretted for months about the potential economic damage if NAFTA blew up." Oh, the contracts. Oh, the contracts. Fretting. Goddamn, these son of a bitches have made records. Since they stole $21 trillion, and admit it, it's gone. It's probably $22 trillion by now. And they're telling you, it's missing. It's gone. It's stolen. Since they did that, they have made record profits right up to today's date when they're making record profits. And they're going to give you $16 an hour, which was equivalent to was a little bit less than minimum wage in 1979. How do you like it, people, for building cars? Are you going to fall for this shit? They put a bunch of, I mean, look at how much bullshit I had to read through here just to get to that one little fact that that's what's coming down in this country. And I'm betting, I'm going to bet you guys something, man. I rarely put my nice shiny nickel up for grabs, but I'm going to bet you that before this is all over, there's going to be a transcontinental highway to move those goods through this country, too. And old President Trump's going to get that. This is what we've needed all along for our economy, for you, for jobs, election coming up, jobs. They can't tout the goddamn border shit no more. You just did a deal with Mexico? You just did a deal with Mexico that didn't include them paying for that fucking wall? Really? You know the wall you promised, you son of a bitch? You're supposed to forget this shit. You're supposed to forget why you actually went out there and voted. That's why we were talking about, you know, just before the vote about, you know, have you looked at the Republican platform? Or are you just looking at TV? Trump's going to get rid of every one of them. God, we're all going to have, God, if we get rid of all these people, we'll be rich. We'll be rich without even getting any of our stolen. Goddamn, just get rid of. Wait a minute. Now that number's 22 million in your country. They had to raise it because it was got so goddamn ridiculous. No, that number's closer to 100 million in your country. They're fucking 11 million people lie. How long did they hold on to that son of a bitch? And all of a sudden it just doubled overnight. One report. Horse shit. And them beaners, you know, if you don't take that $16 an hour, if you're working right now building cars and say you're making $30 an hour, and which is still bullshit for what a fucking dollar's worth these days, you're gonna take that $16 an hour or else a Mexican can just walk right up across that goddamn border and come in and take your fucking job. It's done, people. Sooner or later, I mean, maybe when your stomach start growling, you go, well, maybe that we think it's such a good idea to let these corporations run the country that belongs to the people. To take away our sovereignty and replace it with a corporation illegally. U.S. stock index futures rose with the S&P 500 index email futures up more than 0.5%, suggesting the benchmark index would open near a record on Monday. This will be records set all over the place. Hell yeah, they're dropping wages down to what minimum wage was back in 1979. Goddamn, there's going to be a whole lot of money for somebody somewhere, isn't there? That's what this is. What's at the heart of this? That's why this whole big scam, we got to end change NAFTA. They're already stealing us fucking blind. But they're going, with these, it's either no going to be no wall. And so they can flow under the guise of refugees and stuff. You get ready to either work that job for $16 an hour and kowtow every day. When you come into work, you get down on your knees and you kowtow to that goddamn Chinaman that owns the fucking plant. He'll replace your ass with a $16 Mexican or a $16 Canadian desperate enough to work for it. Got it? That's what this one world shit's about. It's about slaves and masters, don't you know? The Canadian dollar rose with the S&P 500 index email futures up more than 0.5%, suggesting the benchmark index would open near a record on Monday. The Canadian dollar surged to its highest since May against the U.S. dollar, so this must have been really bad for Canada, too. I mean, it was good for everybody, but it was bad for America to start with, right? But then, and now it's good for America, it's good for Canada, it's good for Mexico. How can that be? Logic dictates it cannot be. What it is it's worse for the people in Canada. It's worse for the people in the United States. Oh, but not Mexico, because that was a third world country. That's what you're trying to do, is turn this first world country into a third world country. Now for Mexico, this is a real good goddamn deal. $16 an hour in Mexico. But of course they're going to turn around. They're going to buy all these American goods we're making from all these American factories. Bullshit. All the shit that comes in here is from China. This will go straight to China. and you look at the roots of all these goddamn corporations, you'll find owns the son of a bitch. Though markets were already anticipating an agreement, one source of worry will be swept away if a deal is made. Yukio Isagokuzuki, senior currency strategist at Daiwa Securities in Tokyo, said that will lead to a rise in trust in the U.S. economy. So it's easy for risk assessment. Yeah, you're guaranteeing $16 an hour. These are top jobs. Goddamn, think about it. Working at the goddamn auto, at the auto assembly thing, plants. Now you're dropping that. You're going to take that much money away from the American people. It's coming into the market, boy. It'd be a good time to invest. To get that money that belongs to them fucking Americans, those stupid-ass fucking Americans, them ones that'll go out and vote. So go vote. Go give some more consent for this shit. And when your children, you will end up like fucking like Germany under the Weimar Republic. You'll be sat out in the streets watching your fucking little babies with their bellies bloated and flies blowing their eyes like a fucking Cambodian. That's where you're fucking headed. Because you ain't got the balls to stop it. Or the brains. Trump! Excuse me. Now, let's talk about that $16 an hour and who's coming for it. Who'd work for $16 an hour at an auto plant? I mean, that used to be a fucking goddamn, the benefits and everything and a job, but this is what the whole goddamn thing means. With benefits packages and everything, you get $16 an hour, buddy. Working at an auto plant. That's a top line job. Gone. But who would take that job? Migrant families, minors crossing Arizona border nearly doubles in 2017 reports. Oh boy, goddamn Trump sure is getting them out of here, ain't he? Every fucking one of them. Cause he keeps his promises to the goddamn Jews that put him in office. Border Patrol agents in Arizona witnessed a near double in the number of migrant families and unaccompanied minors who are illegally crossing the border and putting their lives at risk. This is why it bothers us, is because they're putting their lives at risk to come here and take the last of what we fucking have. I mean, they have the goddamn station. The so-called humanitarian, those Catholic Church down under those Judeo-Christian fucking corporations down there putting goddamn water stations and shit and maps and stuff how to get here, and we'll take care of you, guys. That's what it's all about, is fucking breaking this country. It is taking the richest country and dividing it into the poorest country so you can have international communism under a goddamn politerate, under committees. Now the committee members, they're going to get a little more, and depending on you who you know in the system, you're going to get a little more. If you're at the top of the system, you're going to ride around in a limousine in this communist equality. Well, you'll wait for years to see if you're eligible to work to buy a car. Maybe one day I can actually buy a car. If I play my cards right and I do everything right and I suck the right ass, whatever, because they're freaks over there too. A recent report released by U.S. Customs and Border Protection reveals that the illegal crossing of family units and unaccompanied children increased from 13,181 in fiscal year 2017 to date, and they lie about the numbers, and they don't tell, and this is just accounting the ones that they saw and talked to and gave money to. YTD reports to 25,911 in fiscal year 18, a 98% increase according to the August Southwest Border Migration Report. Yuma and Tucson sector officials reported these classes of migrants are crossing in large numbers from Mexico into the southern Arizona desert, where at least 83 migrants died during calendar year of 18. Oh my God. This is what's wrong with this. Is they're dying out in the desert. What the fuck is going on? Why aren't we doing something to stop them from dying in the desert, coming here to take the last of our shit? To bring the products of their fucking up here. To take what's ours. That's what's important here. It's what we're talking about in this article from Breitbart. Yuma sector officials reported the largest increase in both FMUA and AUAC. You've got to have so many abbreviations, so many motherfuckers invading this country. The apprehension of FMUAs in the human sector increased from 5,429 in 2017 to 12,336-A, 128% increase. 120, how long before they fucking outnumber us, people? And we're just sitting here, and if I tell you what, if you're an American national and you see what the fucking problem is. These motherfuckers are invading our country. But if you went down there, you took your guns and you've got 10,000 people together, and said, we're stopping this fucking invasion. We understand what it is. We're not going to be invaded. And you went down there, you would raise your guns at them fuckers coming at your border, and you'd hear behind you, turn around, and there would be the American fucking military. I mean that NATO military. I mean that United Nations military pointing their fucking guns at you. Shoot your ass down if you try to protect what's yours, because they're fucking taking it. Don't you got it? You get it? Do you understand? Yuma sector officials, largest increase. That's where we were. Percent increase. CPA officials stated you unaccompanied minors apprehensions almost doubled in the sector. Rising from 5, because Trump keeps his promises, and don't you forget that. That is the whole coming up on this, go get out and give the fucking permission, go out and give the consent of the people coming up here in November. This is following up. See, this is what you're hiding with this other shit, along with the goddamn Jewish direct tax on the people. Evidently, the Jews can put a direct tax on our people right now. They wrote it down on a piece of paper. And they stamped it, and they signed it. So now you and I are bound to these son of a bitches for what was it, $120 a second? You and I. That is a direct tax from a foreign nation on our fucking people. What will it take? I mean, where is this fucking curve nobody can get around? What does that curve consist of? That's what I need to know. That you can't see that. Oh, well, they'll take most of it from the poor, and I got to pretend, and the whole of this is it, too. I got to protect what I have accumulated. And see, because they're the ones that put all this shit in place to begin with. They were the ones, who the fuck you think worked the fucking Mexicans first? Back when Eisenhower even ran them out under Operation Wetback. Who do you think was pumping them in here? Ranchers and the farmers and loggers, the joint cheap labor, the fuckers that want to make a zillion dollars off your fucking sweat. And don't want you to have percentage of it, even though it is your fucking resources that creates the goddamn wealth. And that is the truth. So get ready, people, because it's coming. They just made some more deals, and while they were making deals, they were making other deals behind your back. You are now a goddamn, you are now a subject of Netanyahu's, because he has the authority to tax you. And that authority has been declared unlimited. You got it? That is the message for the day. We will be back tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern, for another broadcast of The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. And until then, do you got it? That is The Word from the Trenches.